Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Do any of you remember putting on plays for your family? I remember, as the Bible says, where two or three kids were gathered together, we would go to someone's room and we would devise a play to put on for the grown-ups who were gathered celebrating some occasion or another. We would think about some theme, and then we'd all take our roles, and when we thought we were ready, we'd go on stage for the grown-ups. There'd always be a kid who didn't quite remember their lines, and so we'd either whisper loudly from off stage, "Go over there, say this," or we might give him or her a little piece of paper with their lines on it. And we'd go into the living room where the grown-ups were, and we'd ask for their attention. And since it was our parents, after all, we would have their undivided attention. So we'd put on our little play, and usually we'd get a standing ovation from all those assembled parents. And as our gospel lesson today reminds us, even the king's daughter put on plays for the king's guests. But rather than an actual play, she was dancing for all those who were assembled to celebrate King Herod's birthday. You can almost feel the pride in Herod as he watches his brave daughter perform for all those assembled dignitaries. And just as some of us kids might finally get dessert or maybe some other treat after we did our plays for our parents, Herod wants to reward his sweet daughter for her performance. So Herod tells his daughter something we probably shouldn't offer our children: anything she wants in the whole wide world. Now, I don't know about you, but I probably would not run and ask my mom what I should ask for. And I definitely cannot imagine asking for someone's head on a platter. But this daughter did both of those things. And then Herod is placed in that position none of us wants to find ourselves: a no-win situation. Herod is just a little afraid and even recognized that John the Baptist is a righteous and holy man who should be protected. And here is Herod celebrating his own birthday, a birthday befitting a king with banquets and dancing and food and great joyful happiness. And Herod is among his royal guests in a big banquet of food and drink. And his daughter came in, and in a rash moment, he offers her anything she asks for. Today's gospel tells a cautionary tale about what happens when we may promise to give someone anything they want, never imagining it might be the death of a holy man. Herod was a bit confused about just who this John the Baptist was, and thought perhaps that later Jesus was John the Baptist reincarnated, but we all know that John was actually the one who came before and taught us to prepare for the coming of the Savior. So when have you found yourselves in a no-win situation? I pondered about this question as a parent might, and realized that nearly every time we have to discipline our children is a no-win situation. I remember to this day which offenses became spanking offenses: those involving danger, like running into the street without looking both directions, or when we were little holding hands. But those had good outcomes. We learned what was dangerous, or as parents, we taught what was dangerous. So what about those real no-win situations in our own lives? Consider a few. What about those moments when you really needed to be two places at once? Many of us know this with aging parents and children still needing us. How do we choose? Do we go help our aging parents or relatives when the children need us right at home? That's a no-win situation. Or what about the two invitations to dinner on the same night? One is the boss and her not so fun husband, and one is that really fun couple you've really wanted to get together with for months, and now you finally have an evening that works. That's a no-win situation. Well, what about the elderly man who still refers to blacks in the community with a rude and improper name while you're in conversation with him? By correcting him, you show what you feel is disrespect for your elders, but by ignoring him, you're accepting a language which you know supports hate and division. A no-win situation. Or what about hanging out with friends you know are doing something they probably shouldn't be doing? You want to be their friends, but you know it's not a good idea to drink a beer or two and then drive around, especially when none of you is even 21 years old. A no-win situation. Our society and our lives are full of those moments, and we need to consider what those silly old bracelets popular in the 80s said, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Jesus modeled all sorts of behavior. Remember how he respected his mom? When Mary wanted Jesus to help at the wedding with the wine, Jesus first said, "No, Mom, can't do it right now. It's not my time." But eventually he does help his mom. So we probably need to help our parents and maybe get someone to help us with our children. And then the boss and the fun couple, Jesus usually picked the ones less popular, the prostitutes and the tax collectors. So it's probably dinner with the boss and that boring husband. And then there's the hate-speaking elder in the community. We all know what Jesus would have done. He would have called that person out on that bad behavior. Remember when they were doing all kinds of commercial business in God's house, the temple? And Jesus didn't just say, "Now y'all stop it." He went in and knocked over all those tables and shouted for all those commercial enterprises to get out of God's house. And what about your buddies driving around drinking beer when no one's even old enough to buy it, let alone drink beer? This one has several choices. First, hurting the feelings of your friends to stay behind. And then the choice to call out your friends on the consequences and finally do the right thing. And Jesus teaches us a pretty simple rule. Love one another. What more love can you show a friend than to tell that friend, "Bad ideas, buddies. I love you. I love you, man. But drinking beer and driving and doing it underage are all really bad ideas. And I'm asking that you not do it, as I'm not going to come with you. I'm not going to participate. Let's do it for love, for a love we have for one another." Jesus' way is not the easy way. It's much easier to do it our way. We don't have to worry about the hurt feelings, and rather, we can do what we want. Herod's problem was one in which he made a promise to his daughter in front of lots of people. And here he had to save face and keep his word to his daughter. He knows that John the Baptist is a holy man. He chose the popular outcome, not the harder choice, which would have been, of course, to let John the Baptist live. So what are some ways that you can take the harder road in your everyday life? Think about the choices you make in your everyday that may be harder for you. Jesus asks his followers to take the harder road and realize some days that road's going to be hard, but let me assure you, your rewards will be many. You will enjoy eternal life with your Lord. So this week, take the harder road, love one another, and love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. Amen.